Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
The presidential election in November promises to be a close one once again. And you can tell by the way the candidates are scrambling and crisscrossing the country and particularly focusing on the swing states. Republicans and Democrats alike are desperate to get their majority to the voting booths and in some cases keep their opponent supporters away. So how have voting laws changed since the last election? What does that mean for what takes place at the polls, our confidence and trust in the system, and how this will all play out come November, and not just at the top of the ticket with presidential elections, but down ballot races that are so crucial to the country as well. And so we want to look at some of the new voting laws in swing states and what that's telling us and how that might shape the 2024 election. Really pleased to have joining us on the program Patrick Marley, national reporter for The Washington Post, focuses on voting issues, particularly in the upper Midwest. And Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here.
So let's dive into this. This is one of those where, depending on where you fall on across the political spectrum, you might find it a little easier or you might find it a little harder to vote this coming election. Tell us what you're seeing in your reporting.
So the first thing to keep in mind is that we've seen a lot of changes to election laws. In 2020, as the pandemic emerged, every state changed its voting laws. They made it easier to vote in some ways. Many states sent absentee ballot applications to all voters. Some states even sent actual absentee ballots to all registered voters. States set up curbside voting programs and expanded vote by mail, had drop boxes. And so you saw this dramatic change to all states' elections. After the 2020 election, every state then made new changes. Some states decided to make those 2020 changes permanent or to further expand their laws that made voting more convenient. And other states went in the other direction and, not only went back to pre-2020 policies, but in some cases put in place new restrictions on early voting or absentee voting. And so what I looked at were the swing states, seven states that are probably going to be determinative of who wins the election. And you see these dramatic differences, places like Michigan, has an expansion of voting opportunities, and places like North Carolina have some new restrictions and new policies that mean some absentee ballots that would have been counted in the past would not be counted in the future.
Yeah, and that's so interesting. And so I thought it was fascinating, your piece in the Post, talking about places like Michigan expanding, North Carolina making it kind of upping the bar there in terms of expectations. What else did you see in that? Where else are you seeing some of those changes and shifts? And is this really just kind of a tale of depends on where you fall on the spectrum?
Well, it does track closely with, the states that have Democratic majorities and Democratic governors made voting, increased opportunities for voting, had more ballot drop boxes, more hours of early voting. States with Republican control tightened their laws, made changes that maybe made it, tightened deadlines for getting in absentee ballots, maybe had fewer polling hours, increased opportunities to challenge another voter's ballot or their eligibility to vote. And then in states like Arizona and Wisconsin, where you have mixed control, divided government, a governor of one party and a legislature of another party, you see sort of the same thing that you had seen in the past. The legislature passes something and then the governor vetoes it, or the governor proposes something or tries to do something and the legislators won't go along with it. So in those two states, Wisconsin and Arizona, it's really pretty status quo compared to 2020. And then in a state like Pennsylvania, you see sort of changes that go in both directions. The new governor there implemented automatic voter registration. So anybody who goes to the DMV to get a new license or renew their license gets put on the voter rolls unless they don't want to. They proactively opt out. But at the same time, some changes made to absentee ballots. They have some sort of idiosyncratic rules about handwriting the date that you return your ballot onto an envelope. And a court just ruled that if you fail to do that, you know, which some voters write the wrong date or they don't know they're supposed to write the date, then those ballots will be rejected.
Yeah. As you've gone through this, and you really did a great deep dive on this, and again, regardless of Republican, Democrat, left, right, all of that, to me, the interesting question that you get to that I think is the real crucial one in all of this is that balance and having the compatibility of access and integrity. I think those are the real keys to making sure this constitutional republic keeps rolling in terms of free and fair elections. What did you learn or what surprised you in that process of looking at how we balance that access, making it as easy as possible or as convenient as possible, and also upholding those high standards of integrity so we have confidence in the election as well?
Well, I think it is true that you hear from partisans this, you know, one party is talking about one half of the equation and the other party is talking about the other half of the equation. And they sometimes get into some pretty overheated rhetoric about it.
Yeah.
I did talk to one law professor who she sort of emphasized the point that really these are popular ideas. If you talk to most average people and you ask them, do you think everyone who is eligible to vote should have a reasonable opportunity to conveniently vote, they say yes. And then if you ask them, do you think that there should be protections and measures in place to ensure that, you know, voter fraud doesn't exist and that there are some inconveniences like a photo ID law that would ensure greater trust in the system, voters tend to say yes. So the opinions about the voting system don't, I think, always track with the kind of messaging we hear from the, you know, very ideological Republicans and very ideological Democrats as they talk about this stuff.
Yeah, I think that's so important. This often becomes just one more of the fake fights and false choices, because I think these are compatible principles. I think they have to be compatible principles if we're really going to have elections that everyone has confidence in and everyone can participate in. I think, as you said, sometimes in the polling, the way the polling is set up often gets us to the wrong, maybe gets us to a correct answer, but to the wrong question. As you pulled those apart, I think that's the real key there. Is there anything else that you're watching for in the coming months that might impact some of those critical swing states and some of these new laws that are on the books?
I mean, I think it's also important to, like, put yourself in the shoes of a specific voter. You know, these we're talking about probably a handful of votes that are, you know, when you change a law, it can seem really monumental, and it is. But really, in terms of whether it's going to affect the outcome is only going to be the case if it's a very close election. But if it's your vote, if it's your ballot that's not going to be counted, then you may feel differently about it than if you think about it in more abstract terms.
Yeah. Great insight. This is a great piece. You should check this out at the Washington Post. Patrick Marley is the national reporter for the Washington Post, focuses on voting issues, particularly in the upper Midwest. Patrick, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, that's Patrick Marley, national reporter for the Washington Post. And this is just one of those that I think is so crucial to the conversation, that we have to get to this idea of compatible principles, that access to the ballot box, that ability to vote, and integrity of the vote. Those are compatible principles, and bringing those together is what will make sure we all have confidence in the results of the elections. We'll step aside for one last break. Some final thoughts for Inside Sources coming up next on KSL News Radio. Stick around.